Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, January the 26th, of 2022. And I am your host for Miracle Man Show here. And I have to say that it's good to be with you, as it always is. And enjoy having you wherever you're tuning in from, however you found out about us, whatever you're doing. And it's just a blessing that you're here with us. It really is. I'm not just trying to more or less say that. I actually honestly mean it. And it's good to be with you, as I said a little bit ago. I had talked yesterday, kind of discussing about how we got the start, how the Miracle Man got the start, and I told you the story about how I've always wanted to meet these, how I've always wanted to be sportscaster since like back in 08, and that had to do with the Houston Texans football stadium announcer down there in Houston, which that would be so cool to get to meet that stadium announcer, because, but like I said, I got to, unfortunately for the Lions, I heard him, I could hear him in the background when listening to the Lions play-by-play announcers at the time. It was Greg and then, as well as Jim Brandstatter. Jim Brandstatter retired from broadcasting following the Michigan football season. But he is a, he was a good, great broadcaster. Jim Brandstatter was. But let me see. However, as I was saying, the Houston guy, I could still hear him making those calls. Like that touchdown Texans, when they would score touchdowns. I have actually borrowed that when Midland scores a touchdown and I'm at the game and I make that call from the stands, only I yell touchdown Chemex instead of touchdown Texans. And he's and to be honest with you, the Houston Texans stadium announcer has inspired me, and he's left a mark, and he's one of those guys over the years that I've always thought it would be cool to meet. And I've thought about that over the years, and I've wondered, because like I told you yesterday, I like looking at addresses in different cities and seeing what's nearby. Like in certain ones of like the biggest, some of the bigger cities, and even looking at Yelp, seeing which ones are the most reviewed and stuff. Not necessarily reading the reviews, but just seeing, you know, based on like certain areas. And for whatever reason, one of those cities that has interested me the most has been Houston, Texas. And yes, Dallas too. As well as Texas in general, I've just always thought of as an interesting place. And when it comes to NFL, the biggest stadium in the NFL is in the DFW area, Dallas Fort Worth area in Arlington. But of course, the Texans have a nice big stadium too. But I was kind of sharing something that was on my mind. And as of yesterday, we've been on the air. I've been on the air 4.5 years. 4.5 years, and I still love it. And it's been awesome. Plan to keep it going. And so, I want to thank all of you who have been around for the last 4.5 years. Thanks to all the newcomers, as well as those who maybe have been on and off. Maybe you started and then listening and then maybe started listening again. But I know, I am sure of this. God has not led you to the show, to listen to the show by accident. I am for sure of that, that God has led you here to this program on purpose. Not, and so it's great to have you with us. And it's not just something that I'm saying. I honestly mean it. And so if you are tuned into this program, don't turn it off while it's going. And so we're going to continue on tonight. And Axe, I've been enjoying doing this. And so we're going to continue on in the series on Acts. But, yeah, the book of Acts. And then we'll be discussing what we have read as we do, and I'll teach on that, what God has put on my heart. Like last night, I had talked a little bit about souls. And it's important. Of course, winning souls is important because people are the only thing you can take with you to heaven. And guess what? Newsflash, I think you're going to be happy to know this. your mask, your face stapler, your mask, whatever you want to call it. That thing, your muzzle. That thing will not be going to heaven with you. In fact, I hope that there is a mask ban in heaven. Not a mask mandate. No, a mask ban, in effect. And by the way, there's this professor. I don't know if you heard about this on the news, but there's this professor that made this big tirade, and this guy from here in the west side of Michigan, here in Michigan where I live, this professor on the west side of the state made this big, huge 14-minute video, and it was the introduction to his class. But in it, he was going off about this and that, and he told his students that they were vectors of disease to him. He also told them that he wears this helmet, a certain helmet that looks like a giant goldfish bowl, to stay alive. I have a question. How dumb can people get and still breathe? Armani, isn't that a great question? How dumb can people get and still breathe? And I know the people here at my house with me, they're laughing. In a way, it actually is a true question to think about. And I know people laugh and that, but the way I look at it, you got to be able to see the funny side of things. Have to. It's really important. And there's Dr. Brown yesterday morning at his fire conference at the river down there in Florida. He was going on this hilarious COVID soapbox, telling these jokes and different things, and for literally like 20 minutes, 25 minutes. To be honest with you, I wish that someone had like just made that 25-minute thing or whatever into a video. It is so hilarious. Some of it was stuff I had heard before, others of it not. I just love the way he has that comedian side to him. Souls. I always say that every born-again Christian should at the very least win one soul in their lifetime, at the extreme least, preferably like 5, 10, 20. The more the better. If you're not saved and you're listening to this program, I pray that you give your life to Jesus tonight. I don't want to say find Jesus, because people will say, well, I found the Lord. Oh, you found him? Really? He was never lost. It was you that was lost. Because think about this song, for example, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. In the other case, it'd be like, I found God. He picks me up. No. He found you. And so tonight we're going to continue in the Word of God. And then at the end I have my sports, my football predictions to give you for the week, for the weekend in the NFL. As it is championship weekend. No, not Super Bowl weekend. AFC and NFC championship weekend. And so I will give you those predictions at the end. As you know, I enjoy giving predictions for these football games. I really do. These are my honest predictions. They are not based on any kind of bias. I don't do the bias thing. And last weekend, let me see here. I should tell you how we did. Saturday, I said Tennessee would win. Or beat Cincinnati. They did not. Cincinnati beat Tennessee. But it was close. I said that San Francisco would beat Green Bay. Cha-ching! They did. I said that Tom Brady and the Buccaneers would beat the Los Angeles Rams. Rams beat them by 3 points. Then I said that the Chiefs would beat the Buffalo Bills. Cha-ching, but almost. Two out of four. So, decent. But the games were so close in all four of these games. The furthest apart one was actually the Sunday night one. These games were so close that I could have been 0-4. Or I could have been 3-1 or 1-3. Or I could have been 4-0. But it was just, they were very competitive. And to be honest, if you're the NFL, that's what you want to see. These teams going for it on the field, giving it all they got. And so, let me remind you that this episode, this portion of the broadcast, has been brought to you by Coca-Cola with the sweet taste of a wonderful carbonation of a Coca-Cola beverage available at a corner store near you or at various restaurants, including your local McDonald's, where you can grab any size Coca-Cola for the low price of $1. Available all day, every day. Price and participation may vary. Tax, of course, extra. You got to remember, and about the whole tax thing before you think I'm trying to get upset about taxes and do that low voice thing. I was doing that to be funny, first of all. But second of all, remember what the Bible says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to God what is God's. You can't live right without both T's, tithe tithes and taxes. And there's two things in life that are certain. Nope. I'm not going to go there. But anyhow, let me check the time real quick before. So let me remind you very quick that of two quick things. The first thing I want to remind you of is our book. I know my mom wrote it, but I like to say our book because that involves me. It's called Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life. And how great God has been in my life. And it hasn't always been easy, but God's been there helping us throughout all throughout my life. And chronicles the different things that I've went through, the various miracles that I've had. And I want to encourage you, go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out information about the book. Now you can buy the book, how you can get the book in your hand. Again, that is Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com. And I want to encourage you to read the book. You will be glad that you did. Don't just read it. Why not buy another copy and give it to someone else so they may read it? Please do. And they can go online to the website that I said. The other thing I want to remind you of is our PayPal. And I want to encourage you I want to thank you for sowing your seed as you sow into the Miracle Man program. We have a listener from Honduras who sows monthly. Thank you for sowing that seed, Natalia from Honduras. Wait. But thank you, Honduras, for sowing that seed. Also, someone from North Dakota who sows a seed monthly. Thank you for that. You can also sow a seed. And I want to encourage you. I want to remind you. Every time you sow a seed, and I get notified that you sowed a seed, I pray over that seed. And I want to see you blessed. I want to see you get blessed. This year is the year of double. That means double blessing. Whatever blessing you might have received last year, can believe God for it to be doubled this year. This is the year of double. But the verse I want to sow into your life is where God said, I wish above all things that you would prosper. And then it says, even as your soul prospers. So how's your soul doing? And then you can just take a moment and just kind of examine it. God, Jesus said, the Bible says to examine yourself. That means that, you know, spiritually speaking, that no one else can do the examination for you. And the truth is, on the day of judgment, we will all be given an examination by God. And it'll be the most important exam we ever took. And this exam you can't study for, necessarily. It's pass or fail, heaven or hell. How will you do on the test? Sorry about that little. It was just something on my mind. So, how's your soul doing? Is it prospering? Or is your soul, like, really not doing so good? And we honestly, we all have to look at ourselves and wonder, you know, how is our soul doing? Just have to take a look at it. Amen? Amen. So may the Lord bless your seed as you sow. And now we're going to sing a couple songs. Sing a couple of songs. Lift up the name of Jesus. Shout it everywhere you go. Lift up the name of Jesus. We're going to let the whole world know. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw nearer to thee. Lift him up. Lift him up. Lift up the name of Jesus. Shout it everywhere you go. Lift up the name of Jesus. We're going to let the whole world know. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw near unto thee. Lift him up. Lift him up. Deaf ears will be open. Blinded eyes will see. Chains will be broken. We'll have liberty. Lift him up. Lift him up. We're gonna lift him up. Lift him up. Deaf ears will be open. Blinded eyes will see. Chains will be broken. We'll have liberty. Lift him up. Lift him up. We're gonna lift him up. Lift him up. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw near unto thee. Lift him up. Lift him up. Lift up the name of Jesus. Shout it everywhere you go. Lift up the name of Jesus. We're going to let the whole world know. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw near unto thee. Lift him up. Lift him up. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw near unto thee. Lift him up. Lift him up. Lift him up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm.
I have a friend. His name is Jesus. Jesus. I have a friend. His name is Jesus. Jesus. He's my shelter that I lean on. He's my rock that I lean on. He's my shelter from every storm. I have a friend. His name is Jesus. I have a friend. His name is Jesus. Jesus. I have a friend. His name is Jesus. Jesus. He's my rock that I lean on. He's my shelter from every storm. I have a friend. His name is Jesus.
I
set my sights only on him. And these things on earth, they will grow strangely dim. Though my ways are not your ways, says the Lord of all. But where you lead me, I will surely follow. Your thoughts and ways I will pursue. Yes, I will move up higher. I will move up higher. I set my sights above the clouds, where God does dwell and his glory does prevail. I will move up higher. Oh, I will move up higher. I set my sights only on him, and these things on earth, they will grow strangely dim. In all my ways, I'll acknowledge you, Lord. Your thoughts and wills I will pursue. And where you lead me, oh, I will surely follow. I know that you will see me through. I will move up higher. I will move up higher. I set my sights above the clouds, where God does dwell and his glory does prevail. I will move up higher. Oh, I will move up higher. I set my sight only on him, and these things on earth, they will grow strangely dim. I will move up higher. I will move up higher. I set my sights above the clouds, where God does dwell and his glory does prevail. I will move up higher. I will move up higher. I set my sight only on him, and these things on earth, they will grow strangely dim. I set my sights only on him, and these things on earth, they will grow strangely dim. Turn your eyes
upon Jesus. Look for it, his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim when you turn your eyes upon him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim when you turn your eyes upon him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We turn our eyes upon you. Not on ourselves, not on all this other stuff going on, but on you. And thank you, Lord God, that you are making us what you want us to be, that you would help us to turn our eyes on you and not on ourselves, but on you. To fix our eyes on you, as you are, in fact, the author and the finisher of our faith. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are here with us, wherever we are. You know what we have need of. Every listener tuned in to this program, Lord, represents a need. And I thank you that all these needs are met by everybody, including myself. I have needs too. Thank you, Lord God, that you meet all of these needs represented by every one of these listeners tonight. And so now, Lord, I make my confession. And first of all, I thank you that you use me to deliver your word tonight, that you make my voice a beacon, that you use me as an oracle. Thank you, Lord God, that... And now, Lord, I make my confession over this program. I say that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program. And most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom, oh God, as a result of this radio program. In your mighty name we pray, Jesus. Amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. let's make our Bible confession. Because the Bible says we can have the fruit of our lips. So, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what the Word says I have. I can do what the Word says I can do. This Bible is more than a storybook to me. It is more than a religious book to me. And it is more than a history book to me. Tonight, I am a believer. Therefore, I am a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In the name of Jesus. You got your Bible with you. Wave that thing around and make the devil mad a little bit. Yes. Thank you. Because we should make the devil mad, because the devil doesn't like us very well. Go with me in your Bible, please, to the book of Acts 18, and we're just going to keep on keeping on. Praise God, Acts 18. And we'll see what all the Lord has for us tonight. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There, he met a Jew named Aquila, who was native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife, Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, he stayed and worked with them every Sabbath. He reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, who was the synagogue ruler, and his invite household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, "Do not be afraid. keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack you. And I mean, no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in the city. Paul stayed for a year and a half teaching them the word of God. Well, Galileo was proconsul of Achaia. The Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him into court. This man, they charged, is persuading the people to worship God in ways contrary to the law. Just as Paul was about to speak, Galileo said to the Jews, if you Jews were making complaint about some misdemeanor or some serious crime, it would be reasonable for me to listen to you. But since it involves questions about words and names and your own law, settle the matter yourselves. I will not be a judge of such things. So he had many ejected from the court. Then they all turned on Sosthenes, the synagogue ruler, and beat him in front of the court. But Galileo showed no concern whatsoever in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila, before he sailed . He had his hair cut off at Sistra because of a vow that he had taken. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila, and he himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And when they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, I will come back if it is God's will. Then he set sail from Ephesus. And when he landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God. More adequately, when Apollos wanted to go to Staff, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. For he vigorously refused the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Chapter 19. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus, where he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." In capitals, it said Holy Spirit. "We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive? "John's baptism?" It's not a question mark. "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him. That is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe, and they publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken by the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits, they tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, we're doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them. Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known by the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear. And the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. After all of this had happened, Paul decided to go to Jerusalem, passing through Macedonia and Achaia. After I have been there, he said, I must visit Rome also. He sent two of his helpers, Timothy and Crass, to Macedonia, while he stayed in the province of Asia a little bit longer. Verse 23. About that time, there arose a great disturbance about the way. A silverium named Demetrius, who made silver, silver shrines of Artemis, brought in no little business with the craftsmen. He called them together, along with the workmen in related trades, and he said, men, you know we receive a good income from this business, and you see and hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia. He says that man-made gods are no gods at all. There is danger not only with our trade, we'll lose its good name, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited, and the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia and the world, will be robbed of her divine majesty. When they heard this, they were furious and began shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" Soon the whole city was in an uproar. The people seized Gaius and Artemis, Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia, and rushed as one man into the theater. Paul wanted to appear before the crowd, but the disciples would not let him. Even some of the officials of the province, friends of Paul, sent him a message begging him not to venture into the theater. The assembly was in confusion. Some were shouting one thing, some another. Most of the people did not even know why they were there. Jews rushed Alexander to the front. And some of the crowd shouted instructions to him. He motioned for silence in order to make a defense before the people. But when they realized that he was a Jew, they all shouted in unison for about 2 hours, "Great is the mark, Hermas of the officials." The city clerk quieted the crowd and he said, "Men of Ephesus, doesn't all the world know that the city of Ephesus is the guardian of the temple of the great Artemis and another image which fell from heaven? Therefore, since these facts are undeniable, you ought to be quiet and not do anything rash. You have brought these men here, though they have neither robbed temples nor have they blasphemed our goddess. Demetrius, you have filled craftsmen have a grievance against anybody, then the courts are open and there are processionals. They can press charges. If there is anything further that you want to bring up, it must be settled in a legal assembly. As it is, we are in danger of being charged with rioting because of today's events. In the case we're not able to account for this commotion, since there is no reason for it." After he had said this, he dismissed the assembly. So what you see, folks, with all of this stuff is Paul continued to go to all different places over a period of years, preaching the gospel. And all different stuff was going on. In one place, you see in Acts 19, 11, and 12, there were sick people being brought to Paul and to the apostles that were there preaching the word of God, you know, doing good, healing. Yeah, I mean, the word of the Lord was going forth and people were hearing the word of the Lord and all that awesome stuff. But it got to the point in Acts 19, 11, and 12, see, that handkerchiefs were being brought. People were just placing their hands on handkerchiefs, and those who were sick were being healed. That handkerchiefs, you see, that's where you get prayer cloths from. So if you look at this idea of the prayer cloths, blessed cloths, handkerchiefs, you know, whatever you want to call them, they served a great purpose. Those things were anointed. That's why at churches like mine, blessed cloths are used. So, as you heard me say, there is a reason for them. So they're not just something done in vain by any means. No, nothing in vain about it. There's a reason for them. There truly is a reason for why we use them. Because some of you might wonder, oh, why do we use these prayer cloths, blood cloths? Yeah, there's a reason for that. And it's not just one of those things you overlook either. Because it was a great thing. And then you see, of course, Paul and those that were helping him were facing prosecution all over the place. One point got to where he said, I'm not going to teach, I'm only going to preach to the Gentiles from now on. I'm only going to preach to the Gentiles from now on. Then he goes to another place where there were people who were disciples. They were believers, but they were not yet filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, the believers said, you know, we didn't even know that there is a Holy Spirit. They were like, we didn't know that there was a Holy Spirit. And they were all like, what? But they were like, no, they're like, but we're interested, you know, tell us. We want to know. And then those people agreed to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Because originally they were baptized, but they were with the baptism of John. So they just, nothing against John, but they just had the baptism of John, not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so they weren't, so obviously those people were interested. And then you had that crazy, that wild Ephesus riot where people were yelling, shouting, all different crazy stuff was going on. And at one point, all those people in that city were all yelling, great is our Artemis of the Ephesians. At one point, they were literally chanting that for 2 hours. 2 hours. But they were doing as God had appointed them to do. That's what Paul was doing. He was doing what God called him to do. As were Silas and Timothy and the others. And they wanted to do whatever it was that God called them to do. They didn't go just by necessarily what they thought they should do. They went by what God would have them do. because they didn't want to just be led by their own selves, their own ideologies, their own different, you know, they wanted to be led by God as opposed to just their own little different ideas that they had. Nope. They wanted to be led by God. So, Paul was the apostle of God. And there were people in those different places where Paul would go, though, that wanted to abuse him. They didn't want to hear the word of God. They were just people that would just, watch. And then you have the seven sons of Sceva. Now, what these guys did were dangerous, because like they were taught the things and all that, but then they would say, in the name of, they would go about trying to cast out evil spirits, but they would say, instead of just saying, you know, in the name of Jesus, come out, they would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Rather than just saying, in the name of Jesus. It almost makes it feel like they were saying, they knew how Paul preached, but it was almost like they weren't sure if they agreed or not. One person who an evil spirit had came out of, the evil spirit says, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who on earth are you? Okay, I put in the who on earth rather than just who are you, but he said, who are you? And sure enough, they were the seven sons of Sceva. Don't be like the seven sons of Sceva by saying, oh, come out in the name of Jesus whom my pastor preaches. When you do it that way, that's dangerous. It's just the name of Jesus, not the name of Jesus whom, you know, Paul preached or whatever. Because the seven sons of Sceva, what they did there was so, I don't know about you, but I've been enjoying this time of studying the book of Acts together. I've really been enjoying it. I really have been. And we've got 9 chapters left. And so, well, keep it going. Because this should be a Book of Acts year for us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. I pray that we would all become bold and loud as you have called us to be. And that we would echo you, Jesus. That we would be on your frequency and not our own, you know, frequency, but we would echo you, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God, that you will help us with this and that we will be doers of your word and not hearers only, but also doers, doers. And now I thank you, Lord God, that your hand is on us. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, we have championship football weekend in the NFL. Let's start with the NFC. The AFC. On Sunday afternoon, on the AFC side, you have Kansas City Chiefs hosting Cincinnati Bengals. Cincinnati Bengals and their upstart team have had a nice year after being just okay last year. And they won their first – what they did last week was they won their first ever road playoff game. I mean, this was the first ever road playoff game that they had won. They had been in other road playoff games before, but they had lost them. But in Tennessee, they won. For Kansas City, this is the fourth time in a row that they have hosted the AFC Championship game. The fourth time in a row. They lost the first one to the Patriots. And then they won the last two, beating the Rams at the end of the 2019 season. No, excuse me. Excuse me. They beat the Titans in 2019, and then in 2020, they beat the Browns. When I look at this, Patrick Mahomes, after the start of the season that they had that was kind of rocky, they are playing great football now. And I even heard him called Andrew Wiley's name, which was really cool. Andrew Wiley, position player who was a former Midland High Chemic on that football team in 2010 and 2011. My prediction, hail to the Chiefs, 34, Precious Bengals, 21. Rams versus 49ers prediction. When I look at this game, Stafford, I honestly think they could win this one, and the Rams could be the second team, would be the second home team in a row at the Super Bowl. So, prediction. Ram trucks, 35, excuse me. And 49ers, 27. So, Rams, Chiefs win. I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. We'll be safe and sound because Jesus is on our side. And until Monday night, God first, God always. So long, everybody. So long, everybody, and I sure love you. Amen. So long, everybody.